As a longtime complementary medicine practitioner, I know how important it is to ensure that the supplements I prescribe are genuine, professional grade, and effective. That's why I use Fullscript as my online dispensary, so I can send my patients as well as Intelligent Medicine listeners the exact products they need. If you're a healthcare provider, do what I did and sign up for a free Fullscript account. Just go to fullscript.com/intelligentmedicine. It's the easiest way for you to prescribe the exact supplement protocols your patients need. Fullscript is the most trusted source for professional-grade supplements. Sign up for a free Fullscript account at fullscript.com/intelligentmedicine. That's fullscript.com/intelligentmedicine. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and today we're going to talk to an expert on cardiovascular testing and treatment. In fact, his goal is to create a new paradigm for preventive cardiology. He's a Renaissance man. He's been on the scene for a long time. He was a veteran in the field of nutritional and integrative medicine. He studied chiropractic, naturopathy, acupuncture, physiotherapy, massage, homeopathy, Ayurveda, nutrition and herbology, and he's for decades formulated vitamins and supplements. He set aside his more active practice in 2000 to pursue a passion for creating a new paradigm for preventive cardiology. One of his expertises, among many, heart rate variability. We'll talk a little bit about that in this episode. And also carotid ultrasonography. So these are ways of early detection of cardiovascular risk. He's also expert in neurofeedback and brain training. And he puts that all together in something called Level 1 Diagnostics. You can find out more about it at level1diagnostics.com. And he's also, boy, we're going to tap you on this, Dr. Hellschein. He's writing a book on the antioxidant and health value of coffee. Great stuff. So we got a wide variety of topics to cover. Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. It's nice having you aboard.
Thank you very much, Dr. Hoffman. I'm really glad to be here today.
It's my pleasure. So first of all, I want to get your comments on the new hypertension guidelines. You've been on the scene for many, many years, treated a lot of patients with cardiovascular risk. They moved the goalposts on hypertension. Now, tens of millions of Americans formerly classified as borderline are now classified as hypertensive. So what's your take on that?
They didn't move the goalpost on me because in our writings, we've been saying that for years. I feel that people that have anything over 120 over 80 are hypertensive and need to come down. And there's structural anatomy reasons for that to happen, and I'm really glad that they have changed the markings.
Mm-hmm. However, the problem being is that, the prevailing model is a pharmaceutical model. And that's going to lead many physicians to take a shortcut and say, okay, blood pressure's high, reach for the prescription pad, and here you go. Good idea,
yes,
bad idea.
The problem is that medicine marches with the mantra where there's a pill, there's a way, and we can't medicate ourselves to health. I think this gives us an opportunity to be very vocal and out there about how to take care of blood pressure, why it's so important. And one of my mantras has always been, if you ever go to a doctor for any reason and he or she does not take your blood pressure, find a different doctor.
Well, indeed. And there are a variety of ways that we can establish risk. We'll be talking about some of those. Blood pressure is just the tip of the iceberg of ways we can determine early who really needs intensive intervention for cardiovascular prevention. I recently learned that you're a big advocate for something that we've been talking about for a long time here on Intelligent Medicine, which is the Zona Plus, a natural way to deal with high blood pressure. Certainly, You reach for the prescription pad as a last resort, and you're a big proponent of natural interventions. So what's your take on the Zona? How did you get involved with them?
I had read the research on what the Air Force was doing and Dr. Riley's work. Wiley is W-I-L-E-Y, his work in studying fighter pilots to see how to keep them from blacking out. And then I also read the research out of McMaster's University in Canada, in which they talked about using a grip strength exercise program to reduce blood pressure and increase endothelial function. I became very intrigued with the fact that it could do that, and we started using squeeze balls, but we were only getting an average drop of about 3 to 5 millimeters of mercury, so not much bang for the buck in getting patients to do it. And the compliancy when you're not reaching the goal is just drops off. So if you're trying something and you don't see that it's working, you don't keep doing it. And then I found out that a device was being produced that would guide you through a program. And we got our hands on an early, unit, started working on it, and we were getting a 15-point change in blood pressure, which to me makes all the difference in the world. So I'm a big fan of this later iteration of the device. We recommend it highly.
And so you've been using it with patients for a long time. And what's the progress of the technology? It went from, you know, sort of a crude squeeze meter to something a little more sophisticated, right, through advances in technology.
Just like the iPhone has come along with Siri and different technologies to, you know, to educate you as you're working, the same thing's occurring with Zona Plus. It's now a sophisticated squeeze program, and it walks you through whether you're squeezing too hard, whether you're squeezing too soft, and when you're ready to switch from one hand to the other and then back again, and when you're done. So it's a real easy program to use. I have a secret to it that has been phenomenal. It's really been a whirlwind for our patients, and here's the secret. You ready for it?
Sure, yeah.
So, Dr. Hoffman, you tell the patient to get out of bed, and before they leave the bed, they do this as their morning meditation.
Okay. It's like,
so
a
you
routine,
don't even,
like a little routine, just
exactly.
Before the day interferes with whatever tasks or goals might derail you from doing it.
Well, not only that, Dr. Hoffman, but there's also statistics about heart attacks first thing in the morning.
Okay.
You're getting up and you've been lying there, and all of a sudden you're putting stress into your system, and if you've got the potential of a soft plaque or holding a hard plaque in place, you increase your blood pressure. And so
that makes sense, because the waking up is kind of an abrupt process. You know, you go from 0 to 60 in a very short period of time, and you know, pretty soon you're worrying, you're rushing, and you know, as you get older, your body just doesn't adapt to those changes as efficiently, right?
That's correct, and we found that if you get out of bed, put your feet on the floor, you're sitting on the edge of the bed, you pick up your Zona Plus, you do your 12 minutes. During that time, you can just look at the dial. You can say a mantra in your mind. You can say positive affirmations. Mm-hmm. You can just clear your mind. I think that is the wonderful first thing to do every morning.
Great. Well, so, you know, and I've asked the originators of Zona how it works. And, you know, frankly, it may work on a variety of levels. I mean, as you say, it might be a form of relaxation, you know, like a device that promotes a relaxation state. But do you have any other theories on why that may feed back to the autonomic nervous system to normalize blood pressure?
I do. In 1998, the Nobel Prize for Medicine was given to three Americans who discovered that the lining of the artery secretes nitric oxide gas. Nitric oxide is a vasodilator. It causes the blood vessels to dilate, to get bigger. In fact, the science from the Nobel Prize was used for the creation of Viagra.
Yep.
But what the science also shows is the importance of nitric oxide formation. It's so important that there are actually four different pathways in the body to the creation of nitric oxide. The body wants to make sure we're able to create it, but we've laid into our diet and we've laid into our exercise and we're just not producing nitric oxide the way we should, which is why endothelial dysfunction and erectile dysfunction are so prevalent in our society. When you do a extremity grip strength exercise program, you get that peripheral means the end of the arteries, the small arteries in your fingers and hands. You get that peripheral artery sensation telling the body to create more nitric oxide, which will, as I said, dilate the blood vessels. Hmm. And I believe that the Zona Plus is a excellent grip strength exercise program for increasing endothelial function.
Hmm. Interesting theory about that. Do you think there are other ways to promote nitric oxide production? Let's say dietary ways or supplements that can help support that to help people with high blood pressure?
Absolutely. So we know that beets are a favorite of people that want to increase endothelial function. Adding beets to your diet really does a great job of doing that. There are other materials like essential fatty acids that increase nitric oxide production in the body. Exercise definitely increases nitric oxide in the body. So exercising every day and drinking good water and using beets and dark green leafy vegetables all increase nitric oxide in the body.
Yeah, I recently heard of a very weird way in which mouthwash, especially antiseptic mouthwash, can interfere with nitric oxide production. It's actually been suggested that people who, gargle with Listerine every day may raise their blood pressure inadvertently because they're killing the bacteria, the mouth and intestinal bacteria, that help to synthesize nitric oxide. Is that something that you've come across?
It is, and unfortunately, it's a double-edged sword because people with periodontal disease have a much higher risk for heart attack and stroke, and people who have good oral hygiene but use products like Listerine, which on one level is an excellent product, on another level, if it's just used routinely, like antibacterial soap gets used routinely, and all of a sudden we're causing a problem we weren't ready to face. So it's a double-edged sword. You have to be careful. My goal to patients is that they're always paying attention to having good periodontal health.
Indeed. Okay, folks, at this point, let's pause to hear this message from one of our sponsors. Here goes. As a longtime complementary medicine practitioner, I know how important it is to ensure that the supplements I prescribe are genuine, professional-grade, and effective. That's why I use FullScript as my online dispensary so I can send my patients, as well as Intelligent Medicine listeners, the exact products they need. If you're a healthcare provider, do what I did and sign up for a free FullScript account. Just go to fullscript.com/intelligentmedicine. It's the easiest way for you to prescribe the exact supplement protocols your patients need. FullScript stocks the very highest quality supplements, some of which are very hard to find elsewhere. The best part, FullScript sends out refill reminders, so it's totally effortless for your patients to stay on track with their supplement protocols. It's safe, secure, and HIPAA compliant, and they offer world-class support. Improve patient outcomes, rest easier knowing your patients are getting exactly what you prescribed them. FullScript is the most trusted source for professional-grade supplements. Sign up for a free FullScript account at fullscript.com/intelligentmedicine. That's fullscript.com/intelligentmedicine. Thanks for listening and thanks for supporting our sponsors. They're what make Intelligent Medicine a free resource to you. And now back to our guest, Dr. Steve Hellshine. Well, let's talk a little bit about your website, Level One Diagnostics, which I found really interesting because you talk about diagnostics at four different levels, level zero, one, two, three, and four. And could you explain how that applies to cardiovascular screening? I mean, hypothetically, let's just say I'm a healthy 65-year-old. I haven't been diagnosed with any heart problems. And my blood pressure is okay, but I want to get the 411 on, you know, what's my risk. So, you know, I don't have any obvious risks. I haven't been, I don't have angina. I don't have sky-high blood pressure. How would level one diagnostics apply to someone like me? It's kind of a wellness-oriented person who's not yet sick.
Correct. So the problem where you said in the beginning that I want to change the paradigm of how cardiology is being delivered, the problem with the paradigm is that if you have your electrical mechanical pump, the heart, you have the doors that open and close, which are the valves, and then you have the rest, which is the plumbing. 90% of the time, a person has a plumbing problem when they have a cardiovascular issue. And if the gold standard in cardiology for evaluating a plumbing problem is an angiogram, is running a wire and from somebody's groin up to their heart, injecting dye and looking for blockages, then we have a problem in the fact that all of you 65 healthy people are not candidates to find out if you do have plaque formation.
It's too risky, it's too gross a metric of what's going on. You've had a pretty bad blockage to show up anything, and by then it's too late. Then you're on a launch pad for a stent.
And then we also have to take into account the money aspect, because you're not going to convince, even if I were to convince you to let me do that procedure, I have to convince an insurance company to pay for it. Mm-hmm. And they're not going to pay for it if you don't have major risks already. So therefore, we have to approximate the information of that of an angiogram non-invasively. And what we've put together in our program is how do we put together non-invasive testing to get to 75% of the information from the neck down of that of an angiogram without even pricking the skin at a reasonable dollar figure that the insurance company will balk at, and if it has to be out of pocket, then it's still a reasonable dollar figure.
Indeed. And so are there non-invasive, kind of low-cost, low-risk procedures that can be used to get a handle on risk?
There really are. And these are, while they're not novel procedures, they're novel in the sense that they're not being used by mainstream medicine, because there are four levels, as you pointed out, that I talk about in the way of diagnosis. So a level three is a procedure. It's not a test. A level two is a test that has invasiveness to it, may lead to drugs and surgery. A level zero is something that you do that really doesn't tell you any information. You go into your doctor with chest pain and somebody walks in and sticks a thermometer under your tongue. That's a level zero test. Mm-hmm. Very little information, and done by a non-skilled person. A level one test, why we call it level one diagnostics, is non-invasive and tells you about the earliest stages of a disease process, but it also may pick up a true disease process. So if I go through the laundry list of the things we combine, and there's a word gestalt. Gestalt means that the sum is greater than the parts. Mm-hmm. So if we look at the combination, the first test we do is something called heart rate variability. And heart rate variability is looking at your fight and flight portion of your nervous system, comparing it to the rest and digest portion of your nervous system. So how much of your panic mode versus your relaxation mode.
Or for people more technically oriented, we're talking about the dichotomy between the sympathetic and the parasympathetic nervous system, which is, what every first-year medical student learns about. And, you know, so many people are suffering from what is called dysautonomia. They, you know, it's like you, when you put your pedal to the metal and you want to get going, you don't get going. And conversely, when you try and relax, your heart's racing, your blood pressure surges, and that's a form of autonomic imbalance, right?
Correct. And what we've been able to do is we've been able to break it down into a septogram where there are seven different levels. To further elucidate what you just said, we're able to get a closer look even as to whether or not it's adrenal fatigue or it's parasympathetic overload, or Hans Selye used to talk about the four levels of stress and how on the third level the adrenals can no longer perform and they now fatigue, and then at the bottom level your ability to secrete adrenaline and keep yourself moving is gone. It's shot.
Burnout. Yeah.
Yeah, and unless you find that on the patient, if they have it, unless you fix it, you're not going to get a patient well. You know, it's like, how many times can you turn the switch on the wall to turn the light on, but if the bulb is gone, it's not going to make any difference.
So how does this apply to cardiovascular risk? What does an out-of-kilter autonomic nervous system say about a person's ability to regulate heart rate, blood pressure, or their risk for a heart attack or stroke?
So, Dr. Hoffman, in your mind's eye, I want you to see a seesaw. And I want you to see the seesaw as kind of being balanced. That's health. Sometimes it goes up a little bit, sometimes it goes down a little bit, but it's always kind of in a balance. In some people, you have the sympathetic end, the fight and flight end, way high up in the air, and the parasympathetic end is real low. That means you've got a lot more foot on the gas than you do on the brake. Mm-hmm. And your body can only run at that speed so much for so long before it really has some kind of event. Unfortunately, in most people, the event is hypertension leading to a break off of plaque leading to a heart attack or stroke. The second is where the high end of the seesaw is the parasympathetic. And like you said, they want to get up and go, but they're get up and go, got up and went.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
So their heart, when you walk up to that person and behind them and you yell boo, their heart goes into a flutter. It doesn't recalibrate, and they suffer from sudden cardiac death. Mm. Now, just for your listeners, so they know this, 1 million people per year in this country die from heart disease. 100,000 of them die, and the first symptom that they have is death.
Yeah.
And that's one heck of a wake-up call, isn't it?
And Lipitor and all a whole boatload of statins don't seem to be decisive in preventing that, because the vast majority of people who die of heart disease, they're already medicated, right?
The medications have nothing to do with an understanding of whether or not there's a heart rate variability issue. Mm-hmm. The medications, the statins, and boy, I hate to say this, but I have a soapbox on the statins, but I won't go too much off on them. But nobody should take a statin if they have not had an event.
Mm. Okay.
So there are other things.
What you're distinguishing between primary prevention and secondary prevention. There is some evidence that if you've had a heart attack, or if you had, unstable angina, or maybe you've had a bypass surgery, that maybe there is some protective benefit. But what they want to do now is extend and extrapolate those benefits to, I don't know, 50 or 60 million Americans who have a cholesterol, say, over 200, or even lower. And that may not be, that's not, you know, many studies don't really suggest that that's a useful strategy.
Well, let's go back to what we were talking about before, Dr. Hoffman, and the fact that you mentioned the Zona Plus. Now, blood pressure, it may be called a secret kill, a silent killer.
Yep.
But the fact is, it's a significant modulator of whether or not we're going to succumb from heart disease. And using a drug So there are different categories of drugs we can use for heart, for blood pressure. And some of those categories slow down the heart, so the heart doesn't work efficiently. Other ones cause the blood vessels to dilate themselves. So there are different types of drugs for blood pressure. All drugs have side effects. All drugs have side effects. So why do we give a primary person a drug? The reason is because we either have failed them or we don't want to start to help them, and we failed them even before we began. So things like weight loss and exercise and eating dark green leafy vegetables and following a DASH diet, D-A-S-H diet, those are things, making sure we have enough potassium, magnesium in our diet, making sure we have enough CoQ10 in our diet, if not taking it by diet, taking it by pill form. Those are the things that we should be doing with our patients way before we put them on a blood pressure medication.
Instead of it's bass backwards, it's as soon as you cross that threshold towards high blood pressure, they pay lip service to, you know, you should lose some weight, do some more exercise, and follow a diet. But that's about as far as it goes. And then you get the prescription, and sometimes you're relegated for life on a blood pressure medication without any very, very tailored or specific advice on how to lower your blood pressure.
Absolutely. And, you know, my first go-to is not a drug. It's the Zona Plus, and it's dietary change. And weight loss is just a real big part of blood pressure, you know. The blood pressure is like a garden hose that you turn the water on. And, you know, sometimes you put your finger over the end of the hose so you get to squirt out with much more volume. That's what's happening in your arteries when there's arterial stiffness or there's extra fat pushing on the arteries. And even muscle, for some people that are bodybuilders, they have a problem with increased blood pressure because of the muscular squeeze on the artery. So it's something that we've got to pay attention to. And one of the great things we can do is grip strength exercise.
Great. All right. Well, you've laid the groundwork for a discussion of more natural approach, a truly preventive approach in cardiology. And in part two, I want to go a little deeper on some tests that we can perform, talk a little bit more about your success with the Zona Plus. And also, since you're writing a book on the antioxidant and health value of coffee, focus a little bit on that. It's kind of a 180 on our view of coffee as being a potential cardiovascular hazard. We've come to now consider it a protective factor, and we'll find out why in part two. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, today with Dr. Stephen Hellschein, and we'll be right back with more of Intelligent Medicine.